Well, good morning. We're certainly glad you're here to worship with us this morning. And if you're a visitor, we want to let you know that we're glad you're here with us and hope that you'll feel welcome to be a part of our worship service this morning. We certainly do want to send out warm Mother's Day wishes to all the mothers that are out here, and we're certainly glad for them. Let's stand together and we'll sing praises to our Father and King.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam, the silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Thou rising morning, praise rejoice. In light of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for thy Lord to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou fire so masterful and bright, thou givest man both warm and light. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye alleluia. Sorrow bear, praise God and on Him cast your care. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 Let all things that Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there. We got a beautiful, sunshiny day. I just wanted to highlight a few things in the announcements in your bulletin. One thing is we are going as a group to Kane County Cougars baseball game on June 3rd, and I'm going to be ordering the tickets this week, hopefully like Tuesday. So we already have a group of about close to 40 people going. So it's should be a good time, and it's only $5 a person. So it's a good opportunity to reach out and invite some of your friends. I can always get more tickets. So, but if you could let me know, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, or you can send me an email or give me a call. Also, on next Sunday afternoon, we're going to have a all-church cookout at our house. We live out in the country. Most of you have been to it many times, but some of you maybe have never been there. And we just go, and we have a big backyard, so everybody's invited, and we just roast some brats or hot dogs over the open campfire type style, and everybody can bring a dish to pass, and then more details are there. But if you need instructions how to get to our place, out on the table between next to the kitchen there is directions to our house. So that's next Sunday afternoon, and that would be starting like at 4:30, and we'd be eating at like 5:30. So We pray for good weather next Sunday. And one other thing I wanted to announce was this summer we are planning on trying to run the soccer camp again this year. And that's a big outreach event for this church. And we want to schedule a meeting a week from this Tuesday, the 21st, in the evening and at 7 o'clock. And really to put this on, this is a big undertaking. We have about 100, and last year we had close to 150 kids come out to this, ages from 5 through 12. And we teach them soccer skills, but we also have a great time of devotional time and teach them about the Bible and about salvation. And so in order to do this, though, we need a lot of help. And you think, soccer, I don't know anything about soccer. I couldn't help with soccer. So we got coaches to help with soccer. But we will need some helpers there. If you can kick a ball yourself, you surely can help a five-year-old kick a ball. So just some helpers, and just even to help with people interacting with adults, or, you know, kids, sometimes they have to run into the bathroom, so we need escorts from the soccer field in there, and for refreshments, registration, all these different things we could really use help for. But in order to pull this off, we really need to know if we have enough help. And so a week from Tuesday on the 21st, if you could come and listen in, we'll try to get this planned. We also want to be able to walk in a couple of the parades on 4th of July, and that's a time to advertise our church also and let our church know about it. But it's a great time. That's where we get, we hand out information about our soccer camp, and we get a lot of input from the community, and people sign up after that. But we've been doing it for 4 years, and our church is really getting to be known for this in the community because it's free of charge, and we have a great time. So those are some things that are coming up, and we just pray that you'd be able to participate in some of those. And so I know also there's one other thing, is there's a book study that's coming up on this. It's in your bulletin too, that the elders are getting organized to try to get that going. I think there's going to be like three groups of studying the book Radical and how it applies to how we can apply that to our life. So, all right.
The ushers could come forward now, prepare for our offering. Again, happy Mother's Day to all our mothers out there. And I also wanted to let you know the next thing to happen here, Pam is not going to sing a solo. She's singing with our daughters, Kelsey and Bethany. Emily was going to be here this weekend, but things came up with her husband's work that he wasn't able to make it. It would have been nice to have all four of them up here on the platform singing, but they'll be here in a couple weeks. Let's go to the Word, up to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day, this special day that we commemorate our mothers. I thank you for my mother, the consistent love that she has shown to her family through her lifetime. I just pray for all those mothers who are here. Just give them a special day, a blessed day with their families, and just encourage them as they continue mothering. It never ends for a mother. There always are mothers, no matter how old we are. Father, thank you for this time that we give. We just bless those who give, and just that they would give cheerfully out of their hearts to minister to the church and to the missions and to all the things that these funds go towards. Just thank you again, and for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
There are moments on our journey following the Lord when God illumines every path we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. When the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to Him. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. Your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan in the clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall. The cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the sufferings we feel and are tempted to does not know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee, trust your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity.
Thank you, ladies. I was going to say the Gibbons gals, but I know that's not true anymore. So that's right. Let's all stand together, and we're going to sing.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, first through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost his grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Let's take a moment and greet somebody that you haven't seen yet this morning.
Yes, it did. darkness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround the earth and every flag thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou art Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortal, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, leading us with mercy's hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
As we continue to worship together this morning, we'd like to spend some time in prayer. Just a reminder, on the prayer card that's in your bulletin, there's a new section at the bottom that says, please pray for me for the salvation of. One of the greatest expressions of love that we can have is to care about the souls of other people, whether our family, our friends, those people we come in contact with. So we want to be able as a body, as a group, corporately to be mindful and bring before the Lord those people who we love, those people who we want to see to come to salvation. So next week, I know that it's not appropriate for this week because they're already gone, but you can give that to the elders if you want. We're going to ask that you would put down a name. It doesn't have to be anyone specific. You could say coworker, friend, family, or someone specific, but we'd like to lift them up to the Lord. Because God has laid that on your heart, and we'd like to honor Him by praying for them that He would touch their heart. So as we go to prayer this morning, we just want to be mindful of those people in our community, those people in our families who need to know the Lord, because someone in God's mercy was able to share that with us, and we responded. We want to be able for that to happen as well. Let's just go before the Lord this morning. Father, we just want to praise you for who you are. You are God. And Lord, that word has been diluted in meaning because it's so common. But Lord, when we realize that you are the God of the Bible and we read in your word the things that you've done and how you proclaim yourself to be and how others proclaim yourself to be, God, make us mindful that you are special. That you are unique and above all. Father, you've created us. You've known us from the beginning of time. And Father, you know all about us. Father, you know that we're weak and we're frail. Even though we like to be strong, we want to be strong. God, in and of ourselves, we're not. And Father, we want to thank you that You've made us that way because our dependence is on you, Father, and you are trustworthy. You are loyal. You are able to do that above which we can think or imagine. And Father, we want to commit this time to you today in our worship service and just thank you for who you are. God, all of those things. And thank you for what you've done in our life. Thank you that we can be here this morning with others who believe. Father, and we all have problems and concerns and things that overwhelm us. And Father, once again, we are imperfect. And those things crush us. But Father, we know that that you know and you care, God, and you're able to change things. And we would rely on the fact that you are God and you will do what you say you will do. Father, we just want to think about those people in our community, our neighbors, our friends, God, even our family. Lord, we want to lift them up to you. Father, we all know somebody or have contact with somebody that doesn't know you. And God, they have needs. They have fears. They have heartache. God, and we know that a relationship with you is all the difference. And Father, we just would ask that you would burden our hearts with a specific person or even several people who we can lift up before you and ask that you would speak to their hearts about salvation. And God, in that, when we have the opportunity, we would share and that you would move. Father, we just want to thank you for that privilege of being part of your family. Father, thank you for those people who shared with us, who brought us to a place where you and your word and your spirit could work in our hearts and we could accept what you have done for us on the cross to take away our sin, to take away that crushing burden of loneliness and heartache, and Father, have a new life and a new relationship with you. Father, would you once again impress upon our hearts those people in our lives who we have contact with and that we would bring them before you. And Father, we want to think of Carol Zito, who's gone to the ER this morning with some issues. God, we just ask that you would give the doctors wisdom, and God, give Vince and Carol peace. Father, we really don't know what's going on, but we just ask that you would intervene in this situation and heal her body and give her comfort. And Father, we just, as a body and as individuals, want to thank you again for the opportunity to be in your family, to worship you, to come before you now and to learn, and just ask that your spirit would guide Dr. Sauer and work in our hearts as we meet together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Although I am a man, at times I have had to function as a woman and mother. For instance, when Sue gave birth to our second child, she was hospitalized for 5 days. And so for those 5 days, I had to be a housewife and mother to our other small child. Brother, were my eyes open. I concluded the hardest job in the world is to be a full-time mother to one small child. Before that, I used to wonder, what does a housewife do with all of that time on her hands? I don't think that way anymore. In fact, I thank God for making me a man. It's too hard to be a woman. But I'm also glad that God made my wife a woman and a mother. Well, this is a special day. It's a day on which we formally honor our mothers. But which mothers are we to honor? I suggest that we honor past mothers. Maybe our moms have raised us. They've left this life. They are in the next life. Nevertheless, they still need to be honored. We should be honoring our current mothers, the women among us who right now are mothers. And I think it would be appropriate that we also honor spiritual mothers. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul does here. He says, greet Rufus, that's one of Paul's friends, and his mother, who was like a mother to me. Now, no doubt there may be people here this morning that your mother died when you were a small child and you have the vaguest memory of your mother. Or maybe you do know your mother, but she abandoned the family at an early age. But there was another woman, an older lady, who, so to speak, adopted you, loved you, and was like a mother to you. But let's take it a step further. We also want to honor our grandmothers. And maybe on the coattails of this day, we could possibly include mothers-to-be. And maybe at a stretch, at a leap, perhaps even the single ladies among us possessing the qualities highly esteemed by God. Well, every one of us here owes an unpayable debt to our moms. In a sense, we owe them for life itself. How shall we honor these special ladies? One way is to see what God esteems in women. And in Proverbs 31, Scripture describes for us the ideal woman. When we recognize with the help of Scripture those divinely esteemed virtues in the ladies among us, then we can appreciate and honor these women properly. Proverbs 31 is the final chapter in the book of Proverbs. And why does Proverbs end by describing for us the ideal woman? Possibly because it has had so much to say about the unfaithful wife, about the immoral female. That is, it's had quite a bit to say about bad women. So now Proverbs concludes by depicting the woman as God intended her to be all along, the ideal lady. Some women don't like Proverbs 31 because it makes them feel guilty. In honesty, they admit to not fully measuring up to its lofty standards. Actually, I'm glad there's no corresponding text in the Bible describing the ideal man. It's not necessary. We men just automatically measure up and become what we should be. Maybe not. In a sense, we do have something of a parallel passage for us men. It's 1 Timothy 3, which gives the requirements for pastors and elders. All Christian men should strive to be like them. So relax, ladies. It takes time to become the woman of Proverbs 31. Now, as I read between the lines of our passage, I sense the ideal lady is at least 4 decades in age. Why? It takes time for that woman to grow. It takes time for heaven to cultivate and bring to full growth and maturity those wonderful virtues and graces that we see she possesses in this passage. Now, who can benefit from our passage this morning? Single women can. Many qualities are listed here, ladies, that God wants you to cultivate. Single men can profit. We can better appreciate such females among us. Prospective brides can be sharpened. Ladies, here is what heaven wants you to be like in marriage. Prospective grooms can benefit. Fellas, here's what you look for in a potential wife. We husbands can be helped. Don't squelch those virtues listed here in this passage already found in your wife. And wives can be refined. This holds out a goal for you wives to strive toward. But remember, ladies, it takes time to measure up more and more and become the ideal woman we find in Proverbs 31. Now, I want you to know that this passage is an acrostic. Now, what does that mean? Beginning with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and concluding with the last letter, each verse of this passage starts with the next successive letter. It's as though verse 10 is the first verse. We're going to go from verse 10 all the way through verse 31. And it's as though in English, verse 10 begins with our first letter, A. Verse 11 starts with the second letter of the Hebrew of the English alphabet, B. Well, that's what Hebrew is doing. It's starting in verse 10 with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet called Aleph. Verse 11 begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet called Beth, all the way through verse 31, where it would begin with our last letter. It begins with the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And I want us to break our passage down into these paragraphs. Verse 10 is going to talk about the worth of the ideal woman. 11 through 12, her benefits. 13 through 24, her works. Her virtues are listed in 25 through 27. And the praise that should be accorded to her is found in 28 through 31. Now, please find this insert in your bulletin. This is the handout we'll be using as we work our way through this unique passage. There is no other text of Scripture in Holy Writ like this one. Now, verse 10 opens with a surprising remark. And I want you to know that verse 10 in the Hebrew text literally reads like this. Who can find a morally virtuous, domestically efficient wife? Now, I want you to know, it does end with a question mark. This is not a real question. This is not a sincere question. This is a figure of speech called eroticism. What is that? The asking of a rhetorical question, not to get an answer, but to emphatically make a point. And what is that point? Well, notice how I have removed the question and I've stated the point in my translation of verse 10 in a straightforward manner. Here's the point that he's making. How few men marry a morally virtuous, domestically efficient wife? And yet, her worth is far above rubies. Meaning what? She is priceless. You would think, every man in the world would think like this. I have no intention of ever getting married unless I can marry the kind of woman that I find described here. In fact, we would think men would take this a step further. It would be far better for me to stay single my whole life than to marry a woman who is not like this. Now that raises a question. Why do so few men marry such an awesome woman? Well, why would that be? It could be there are few women like this in the world. Actually, that's not the case. There are far more women like this around the world than we think is the situation. Closer to the truth lies the second suggestion. Men mainly judge women by their outside, by their exterior, by their looks or their lack of them. And also closer to the truth is the third suggestion, and that is men themselves don't measure up, so God is not going to give such a fella one of his fine daughters. And fellas, what we want to remember is this verse. A house and a wealth are an inheritance from fathers. When he dies, you're his heir. He leaves you his estate. Your father cannot leave you, give you what only God can in, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So, fellas, if you're here this morning and you're single, you would be prudent to start praying to the sole source of a godly, wonderful wife that God would prepare her for you, protect her physically and morally, and at some point cross your paths and lead you all into beginning a relationship. Now, verse 11 begins the description proper. Her husband has full confidence in her. Now, there was a man some years ago named Thompson. He lived in Israel. He studied the people, the land, the culture, and he wrote a book entitled The Land, the Book, and the People. And listen to what he says about husbands and wives. The husband, in 9 cases out of every 10, does not feel very confident that his wife will do him good and not evil. He sets a jealous watch over her and places every valuable article under lock and key. His heart trusts more in hired guards and iron locks than he does his wife. Now, my parents are deceased, and so maybe I can say this in an appropriate manner. But my stepfather had a secret bank account. My mother, his wife, found out about it. She was both upset and discouraged. And I was present when she asked my stepfather, why have you been stashing money aside I didn't know about? And my stepfather said, if I did not have a secret bank account, you would spend every dollar I make. And I asked, Mother, is that true? She said, it is true. And I said, why? She said, I don't know. If I have money, I'm going to spend it. Now, in contrast to that, I know a man who's a CEO of a big business firm. He makes lots of money. And he told me, Every month when I get paid, I hand my check to my wife. I do not know what she does with that money, and I don't need to know. She is so skilled, careful in the way she manages our assets. And that's why verse 11 concludes by saying, consequently, that is because the husband has such confidence in her skills. Consequently, his material wealth actually increases. She manages their assets, the checkbook, so well, their assets grow. Now, verse 12 tells how long her skillful management lasts. Rather than detrimental, she is extremely beneficial to her all her married life. Now, I have a problem with the word A-L-L. I don't think any wife, as awesome as she is, does only good all her life and never bad. So I just suspect that we have a figure of speech here called hyperbole. What does that mean? More is stated than is to be actually understood. Meaning what? That the skilled wife, the godly woman, does good for her husband most of the time, most of her married life. Every woman, no matter how wonderful she is, has feet of clay. Now, verse 13 discloses how she does her husband good. She carefully selects wool and flax. Those are fine materials. And what does she do with them? The last line tells us. And works eagerly and joyfully with her own hands. She is a happy, joyful, industrious worker. Nobody has to stand over her telling her what to do to get to work. Verse 14 expands on the idea of careful selection. She is like a fleet of merchant ships. Well, how so? How is this ideal wife like a bunch of merchant ships? She is like a fleet of merchant ships in that she gathers her food from afar. Now, my wife and I used to live in Virginia, and Sue had a habit of getting in her car and driving way out of the city where we live into the surrounding rural area and countryside, buying vegetables and meat from farmers. And I said, Sue, why in the world are you taking so much time and wasting all that gasoline to go get food when a couple blocks down the street we have a big modern supermarket that has everything in it we need? Why? What do you think Sue was doing? She was looking for the best meat, the best vegetables, at the best price. Food not tainted as much with pesticides and poisons, etc. Actually, what she was doing was good, according to this passage. I wasn't aware of this, and I was trying to squelch something that Scripture praises. And verse 14 goes on to say, and she is entrepreneurial. She has a enterprising business spirit. And as we'll see, our passage goes on to say, yes, in verse 16, she buys and plants a field. Verses 18 and 24, she makes and sells homemade garments. And what does she do with the food that she obtains from afar? Verse 15, she gets up while it is still night to prepare meals for her family. Prepare meals for her family. One young husband said, my wife does not like to cook and prepare meals. She either wants to, A, have me take her out to the restaurant and get our meals, B, call the restaurants and have them deliver meals to our front door, or C, the most she'll do is take a TV dinner and put it in the microwave. And then he asks, are all wives like this? No. Thankfully, they're not like that. So verse 15, she gets up while it is still night to prepare meals for her family and to assign her maidens their daily tasks. Now, we didn't have any maids in our home, but we had small children. And I noticed as they were growing up, Sue would make them a chart and put on their daily chores, their weekly chores. And she would take a gold star and paste one on each day under that chore when our children fulfill their chores. And so Sue would assign our children things to do around the house and acknowledge and recognize when they fulfilled their chores. Verse 16 elaborates on her enterprising spirit. She carefully examines a field. Now, what does that word carefully mean? She is not rash and impulsive. Here's an important verse for us. He who makes hasty decisions makes wrong decisions. Folks, the wisdom here is when you are faced with a very important decision, don't make it in haste. When we do that, we're likely to make wrong decisions. I've said for all the time that I've been a professor at Moody Bible Institute, the hardest job I have is trying to slow 19-year-old women down from rushing into romance, rushing into marriage. They want to get married overnight. And recently I was talking to one of our 19-year-old young women at Moody and trying to slow her down in romance. And I said, "You're 19. Don't you realize you're young?" "No, I don't." "Why don't you?" "I don't feel like I'm young." "Well, I'm 66 and I don't feel like I'm old, but I am." You may not feel like you're young, but you are. Slow down. And notice this ideal lady, she carefully examines a field. Then she buys it and plants a vineyard on it with the money she has earned. She has limited funds. She is going to be careful where she spends that money. Verse 18 reveals the profit of her work. She tastes financial profit. Her appetite is whetted with a little bit of success. She wants more. She reaps financial profit from her vineyard's produce so that she is spurred on to working late into the night. She doesn't hesitate to burn the midnight oil on occasion. And verse 19 reveals a new business venture. She puts her hand to the distaff, that's the ancient sewing machine, and her palms hold a spindle to make garments in the home. Now I want you to notice in verse 19 these words, hands, palms, because these words appear again in verse 20. And notice verse 20. Although this lady is busy in the home, she is not too busy to help the needy outside the home. She opens her palm. That is, she is not tight-fisted. She is not selfish. An open palm denotes generosity. She is generous with the unfortunate. And she extends her hands. That is, she's compassionate and helpful toward the needy. Now, let me draw your attention to the words unfortunate and needy. The word unfortunate means those without life's material necessities. They're struggling to put food on the table, to clothe their children. The ideal lady, okay, she's got limited funds. She's going to be generous with what she has. She's going to dip into some of her reserves and meet the material necessities of this family here and that family there. But the word needy refers to those in time of things other than material necessities. Some lady may knock at her door. And that lady knocking has far more money, far more material possessions than the ideal lady herself does. But what kind of needs does the lady at the door have? She needs her listening ear, her helpful advice, her love, her prayers, etc. The ideal lady is a servant. Now, Sue recently had to go out of state to spend time with some of her relatives. She came back. She made a remark that I really took note of. She came back and said, after spending a week with these relatives, it became clear to me that their house, their household, their family is geared around one thing, only the people in their home. Only the family members under their roof. My relatives, she said, have little concern for those out in the community, those not members of their family. And she said, I compared that to our home. Our home life is geared toward not only ministering to each other, but ministering to people outside our home. Now, this morning, John Ressler and I were talking about this church, how things have been going in the past decade. And that's why we've had somebody come in and assess the church, tell us where our strengths and weaknesses are, what we've been doing right, what we've been doing wrong. And for the past decade, our church has been going this way. And perhaps one reason is because we've only been or mainly been concerned about those under this roof in this sanctuary. We've been too inner focused, not outward focusedly enough to those in the neighborhood, those outside the church, those people who are unchurched, unsaved. They're not Christians. They're hurting and they're struggling. Now, I think the church exists for two reasons. For those in the church, the family of God, we must always be ministering to the people in this church. They're constantly going to have problems and struggles and tragedies. Their kids are going to rebel, etc., etc. So we must minister to the church and keep the church family healthy and strong. But we can't be only concerned about those in this church. We're to take the gospel to those outside the church. Those that you spend time with in the classroom. Those that you work with in the business office. Your neighbors, etc. And John Rusher said something this morning that really struck me. We need to begin right here with each of us as individuals. How true that is. Then we can reach out. But we need to start here. And the ideal lady, sure, she is rightly concerned, first and foremost, with her husband and her children. But she doesn't stop there. She reaches out and extends her hands to the needy. Now, while she helps the needy, notice she doesn't neglect her family in verse 21. She does not fear winter for her family, for they are all clothed in scarlet. Ladies, put your family first and the rest of the world second. Make sure your husband's needs, your children's needs are met, then open the door and minister to, help meet the needs of some of those ladies on the outside. Having clothed her family in verse 21, in verse 22, she now clothes herself. She also makes apparel for herself. Her clothing is made out of fine Egyptian linen and purple material. What is she doing? She's looking nice to attract her husband. Now, it's Howard Hendricks, late professor for 60 years at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was used to say this all the time. How many times did I hear him say this? Ladies, if you don't attract your husband, there are plenty of women in the world who will do that for you. Now, ladies, I want you to remember, your husband is constantly around young, attractive women. And we need to take to heart what Dr. Hendricks said. And my wife is the one who is responsible for this. She said, spouses have a change of attitude in marriage. And she went on to say, men quit being gentlemen. The typical man has enough sense to know he won't win a woman's heart unless he's a gentleman. Women don't want to marry a caveman. So in pursuing a female, what do men do? They are kind, courteous. They put forth their best foot. And then they win her heart. And after they win her heart, what do lots of guys do? They quit being a gentleman. I'd like to know why. In their mind, they wrongly think the chase is over. I've got her. In fact, they even put a ring on her finger. She doesn't believe in divorce. She's not going anywhere. And it is hard work to keep being a gentleman when it's not necessary. Here's where men make the second biggest mistake. They quit being a gentleman. Unkind words, bad attitude, cruel actions. They begin to inflict wounds on that woman's heart. So men, unfortunately, have a change of attitude. Fellas, the truth is this. It's a gentleman to be, it's essential to be a gentleman the first time to win a woman's heart. It is three times more necessary to be a gentleman after we win her heart. It is six times more necessary to be a gentleman, remain a gentleman after we marry her. Why? There are advantages in marriage. There are challenges in marriage. We're living close together. We step on each other's toes. We get under each other's skin. Problems come into the home from the outside. It's easy for us husbands to be under pressure, to be rude, open our mouth, lash out with our wives. Fellas, we must grow and become even more and more the epitome of a gentleman to keep our wife's respect of us growing. Whenever a woman loses respect for the man in her life, there is where the relationship is headed. And as I've said before, sometimes when a relationship gets into a tailspin, they don't come out. They crash and burn. But there, unfortunately, there's a change of attitude on the part of women. And my wife went on to express it like this. The typical woman, unfortunately, thinks this way. My husband found me attractive. He pursued me. He won my heart. He put a ring on my finger. Therefore, he is eternally attractive to me. Therefore, I don't have to look nice, keep him attracted to me, because he is forever attracted to me. Ladies, fellows, we need to correct, if we're guilty of that change of attitude now that we're married. This woman dresses nicely to keep her husband attracted. And ladies, we fellows really do appreciate all the time and effort you take to look nice. It's noticed, it's appreciated on our part. Now, according to verse 23, her influence extends beyond the home. Highly respected is her husband in position of leadership. When he conducts city affairs with the elders, she frees her husband from domestic matters so he can give his time and attention to issues outside the home. And verse 24 further identifies her business venture. She makes fine garments and sells them. She supplements her husband's income and trades sashes to the merchants. She takes some of the financial strain off her husband. Now, when my wife had to leave the home and go to work and get a part-time job, I want you to know that was a hard day for me. I felt like a complete failure because I'm the man, the husband, the dad. It's my responsibility, it's my privilege to provide for my family materially and financially. And working at Moody, I just could not make enough money to do it, so Sue had to go to work. I felt so bad about that, but I've come to realize she did what was necessary. The ideal woman does it if necessary. I appreciate Sue working part-time outside the house to supplement our family income and take some of the strain off me. So, ladies, if you have to do that, realize that your husbands appreciate your working outside the house. Verse 25 concerns her internal dress. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Well, obviously, the writer is speaking figuratively. So let me remove that. Strength and dignity are her virtue. She has high moral standards that have been cultivated. As a result, she fears neither the future nor growing old. One woman put it this way. I would not go back to being 21 years old again for anything unless I could take my 51-year-old brain with me. Now, what does she mean by that? It took her time to grow, develop, mature, and acquire wisdom as the years and the decades pass. And that's why it says in verse 25, strength and dignity are her virtues. As a result, she doesn't fear winter. She doesn't fear growing old. She realizes there are wonderful benefits of growing old. Now, why does she not fear the future? Because she's wise, verse 26. She opens her mouth, that is, she speaks with wisdom. She shares her wisdom with her children, her friends, and the neighbors. Kind instruction characterizes her speech. She is not harsh in the home. She is not stern with her husband and her children. She's not a drill sergeant inside the house barking out orders. Her instruction is given in a kindly manner. The wise counselor in verse 26 is a vigilant watchman in verse 27 to ensure her instructions are carried out. She carefully watches her family's affairs, conducts, and needs. Now notice that word, that verb, carefully watches. I want you to know, she does what God himself does. That same word is found here in Psalm 66. God rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. This woman knows where her children are, whom they're spending time with, and what her children are doing. And verse 27 says, she does not eat the bread of laziness. That means she's not lazy. Well, let's put it in a positive manner. She is very industrious. One of my students from Delaware says, my older sister is married, lives right next door to Dad and Mom. My older sister is the epitome of laziness. If Mother did not come over throughout the day and change the little baby son's diaper, that is, my sister's son, at the end of the day, that infant would have on the same diaper that he had at the beginning of the day. My sister won't even change his diaper, let alone clean house, prepare meals for her husband. Well, what does she do? She puts her feet up on the coffee table and watches soap operas all day long. Not the ideal housewife, Not the ideal mother. She is industrious. Now, verse 28 concerns the praise to be accorded her. Her children periodically stand up to make her happy by expressing appreciation, and not just on Mother's Day. Notice that word periodically. Her husband also continually rises to sing her praises. And fellows, we have a biblical instruction to that. Husbands, you must consistently live with your wives in accordance with knowledge. What does that mean? We need to study our wives and know them. Know what buttons not to push. Know what buttons are okay to push. We need to recognize the virtues and the wonderful things that we see in our spouse and express appreciation. Since she is the weaker vessel, not weak, we men are weak, she is just weaker. You must regularly give her honor. Why? Since she is a joint heir of the grace of life, so that your, look at this, prayers, Christian life, may not be hindered. The way I treat my wife affects, good or bad, my relationship with the Lord. Affects, good or bad, my Christian life, my service. When a husband loves and honors his wife, the benefits, blessings, and advantages which, that it should be the word he, which he enjoys are out of all proportion to the time and effort it takes to express that love and honor. Fellows, Scripture is saying that you and I must be faithful to affirm our wives, the mothers of our children. What does affirm mean? That we are to recognize those virtues, those qualities, those wonderful deeds in her, that we appreciate and express that appreciation to her. Let her know, honey, you do such a good job of managing the house, being a mother to our children. I appreciate so much your compassion for people outside the home. So, husbands, whatever we see in our wives that we like, that's good, that's wonderful, let them know that we see it and that we appreciate it. Verse 29 records her husband's praise. Now, what is this husband saying to her? Many ladies are virtuous and efficient, but you easily surpass them all. There are a lot of wonderful women in the world. I recognize that. Honey, you are head and shoulders above them all. Now, verse 30 gives the ultimate cause of her praise. A fine figure is disappointing. Now, why is it disappointing? It's deceptively disappointing. A man cannot judge a woman's worth by her looks or her lack of looks. Her beauty cannot possibly make him happy. Proverbs 11:22, as a gold ring in a pig's nose, so is a beautiful woman without moral discretion. What does that mean? You put a gold ring in the nose of a pig, that gold is wasted on that animal. He doesn't appreciate it. When beauty is given a woman and she doesn't have any wisdom and morals to go with it, that beauty is squandered on her. Can her beauty make a happy husband? Impossible. A fine figure is deceptively disappointing, and physical beauty does not last. That clause literally says, and physical beauty is a vapor. It does not last. So, fellas, when we marry, sure, we must be attracted to the woman that we married. We need to be satisfied with her exterior. But, let's keep in mind, fellas, our wife's nice outside is only going to last 20, 25, 30 years, and it begins to fade, paving the path for wrinkles and blemishes. So our wife must have far more going for her than a nice exterior. But the woman who fears the Lord, only she shall be praised. And verse 31 closes by giving the rest of us some advice. Give her credit due for the many benefits produced by her labor, and let her works praise her publicly. Now, what are these benefits that can be reaped from the godly woman? She raises good citizens, her children. She frees her husband to help others. She assists the needy. She speaks wisdom. She runs, manages, cares for an efficient home, which is the main realm of her labor. Now, we've worked our way through this unique passage in the Bible. What practical relevance is it to you and me? Well, I think a number of things. Fellas, there is only one source to obtain an awesome wife from God. If you're single, be talking to him now about her. Not taking it a step further. Husbands, God has given you and me, our spouse, we can still be talking to him about her, thanking God for her, asking God to bless the labor of her hands, cultivate virtues in her. But to obtain such a fine wife, we men need to measure up. Fellas, I want to repeat myself. God is not likely to take one of his rare, awesome, godly daughters and give her to you and me unless we're in the process of measuring up ourselves. Ladies, see your strengths and weaknesses. Deepen the former. Work on the latter. Remember, it takes time to become this woman in Proverbs 31. Husbands, let's help our wives measure up to this lofty standard. And how can we assist them? Regularly affirm her. Let her know what she's doing well. Let her know what you appreciate. That spurs her on to continue that. Give her time to help the needy. Don't resent if she opens her door and ministers to people outside. My wife is constantly doing that. 3, give her money to work with. We make the money, but we shouldn't keep it all to ourselves. She needs money to buy groceries, to get things that the household and the children that need. 4, don't squelch her enterprising spirit or any of the qualities and virtues that we find God praises that are listed here. One of life's chief blessings is our mothers. Ladies, we owe you an unpayable debt. We thank God for giving us such mothers. And moms, we are grateful. Grandmothers, we are thankful for all that heaven has done for us through your love. Prayers, your industrious hands, your input into us. May heaven bless and reward you in this life and in the life to come for all that you have done so consistently, lovingly, sacrificially for your family. And so, Father, it is to you that we chiefly owe our gratitude. Thank you for the mothers in our life. Biological, spiritual mothers. Hopefully we can say that about our stepmothers, grandmothers. So many of your blessings have come to us through our moms. And Lord, should our moms have left this life, would you for us let them know how much they're missed, how much they're loved, and would you recompense them for all that they've done for us? Now, Father, I pray for the mothers that are here, the grandmothers that are here, the mothers about to be. Would you deepen their virtues, increase their wisdom, bless the labor of their hands, give them the utmost satisfaction and joy in being wives and mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together as we close our service.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sun. For I'm part of the family of God.
We hope you enjoy the rest of this Mother's Day and have a great week.